If you are 17, you're going to be into this.
Yes.
Because the Chinese government recently cracked down on mobile games, even comparing them to heroin and how addictive they are to kids and their effect on the brain. That might sound a bit mad, but could we learn from their approach to children and screen time?
Who better to ask than friend of the show, Brian Penny, author, neuroscientist and recovered addict himself. Brian, how are you?
How's it going, lads?
I'm good. Thanks for coming on. Tell us, what exactly have the Chinese government done?
Wow, it's interesting. I was reading about this myself, and the words that they use that I really like, they call it spiritual opium, which they talk about that in terms of gaming. And I think they've taken, it's a very authoritative approach that they've taken, but it's a hard line. And I think it's a great approach where they're putting a big stop on in terms of policy of stopping all the kids gaming all the time, basically.
So there's a limit on the app. You can't go over a certain time, is it?
I think it's just policy. I don't know the details exactly of what the Chinese government have done, but they're putting in policies to stop the amount of game time that kids are actually being on the games. Like I think there's two big reasons for it. I think for parents, it's reducing the cost that they're going to be spending on kids with game and stuff like that, and then just to reduce the addiction, because the problem surrounding this game and addiction is just it's getting out of control, really.
Yeah, because they said that they reckon it can warp a child's mind in the same way that drugs do. Is that a bit much, or is that accurate?
It's not. Like, basically, at the end of the day, all of these addictions, they're bad habits at the end of the day. But every habit we have, everything we do, repeatedly, they impact our brains. They basically change the structure of our brains through neuroplasticity. And they change the reward systems in the brain of how the brain works. So there's one particular idea in neuroscience. It's called the incentive sensitization theory. And it basically says that the more you're rewarded with addictive behavior over time, mm-hmm. it basically amplifies your want for that drug, and you are just more susceptible. You will crave that drug more, whatever that is, whether it's an actual drug, whether it's gaming, whether it's gambling, all of these different things, and you're just more sensitized to that. Now, there is a difference. A lot of people do think, they think of Facebook, social media and gaming, that's like it's like drugs. It's like a normal drug, like cocaine. But there is a huge difference in this. In terms of drugs themselves, like cocaine, methamphetamine, they actually go into the bloodstream and across the blood-brain barrier and actually impact the neurons at a molecular level. So they change the dopamine transmission and impact the reward system in a very physical way. Whereas gaming and other behavioral addictions, they sort of map onto more natural rewards, like escaping emotional pain, because you're using that as a way to immerse yourself. So there is a huge difference in that, but it's equally problematic, because at the end of the day, they still act on the brain in the same way.
Is it kind of like gambling then? Because like we've heard from people who are big into the gambling that it's like, you know, that high you win and or you lose and then you're like, oh no, I've lost, I'll go again. Like, you wouldn't let a 4-year-old into a bookies, but like you'd probably let him go on his iPad and play Angry Birds.
This is it. That's a great analogy there, really, as well. And I personally think, like, they're both behavioral addictions, gaming addictions and gambling. They're very but they're both behavioral addictions. And I personally believe, I think the same processes are at play. Like for gambling, it's like you're immersing yourself. It's escapism. It's immersion. It's chasing the wins as well. But I've talked to a lot of people in gambling, and it's not so much winning the bet. It's kind of the thrill, the seeking the thrill of the bet is more of the addiction. And when you look into gaming techniques or into gaming addictions as well, like, it's escapism is a big thing. You're immersing yourself in the game. Role play is a big part of it as well. But then group dynamics, like online gaming, you feel like you're part of a group, and you are in some way as well. But I think a really key part of both of these things, and every addiction for me comes down to an escapism, and it's really escaping the present moment, getting away from yourself. Like if you're sitting with difficult emotions, uncomfortable past experiences, and you're not comfortable in your own skin, you're gonna look for something outside of yourself. And whether that's alcohol, drugs, gaming, gambling, whatever that is, I think that's really the root of many addictions. So escapism is such a big player.
Yeah, but Brian, just to defend the gaming and esports industry, like loads of people play it and are just having a bit of fun and they're having a bit of crack and they're not addicted. You know what I mean? They would say that it's not addictive. Like, what if some lad wants to go pro and he has to grind and put in the hours? You know, how does he know that he's addicted or he's mad into it? Like, some people would just watch, you know, 10 hours of Netflix or RTE on their day off.
Yeah, it's very, very true. And I think addiction is very hard to conceptualize as well. Like, there's lots of different definitions of addiction. And like, I was in addiction for many, many years. You could say today I'm addicted to academia, I'm addicted to exercise, but it's more positive addictions that aren't. I think the essence really of addiction is when it actually causes problems in your life, and despite those problems that you can't stop that behavior, that's when it really becomes a problem. But I think a big part of the problem right now is the science behind these addictions. Like, even in food, like the food industry pays the best scientists in the world. They get them, and they're scientifically combining the best, the salts, sugars, all of these combinations to make food as addictive as possible, like hitting that dopamine pathway, that reward pathway of the brain. And even computer scientists and data analysts today, like with machine learning techniques, they have all of this big data and they know people inside out, especially for people that are gaming, that they're on computers as well. And there's some research that basically, if you're on shopping for something online and you go to exit out of that page, well, these machine learning techniques that the computer analysts do, they track the mouse going to exit and they pop something up that you like to keep you within there. So science is really harnessing these addictions as well to make them very, very rewarding for the brain as well. So that's something we really need to keep in mind as well, like that the best in the business are trying to keep us addicted, not maliciously, it's just part of the industry.
It's true. I think it's across many platforms, not just gaming, that if you're watching stuff or, you know, podcasts, whatever, everything will keep popping up, the next thing to keep you in, that every industry now is fighting for your attention more so than anything. But what if somebody is listening to this and they think, my child or my partner, I think they're addicted to gaming, what would you say to them?
There's a couple of things. There's one big thing, and it's any bad habit, whether you call it a bad habit, whether you call it an addiction. And people think that they need to change the behavior. So, like, you're gaming too much, stop gaming. You're drinking too much, stop drinking. And that makes a lot of sense. But really where the crux of the problem is the trigger, what precedes the actual addiction. So if you walk, if you keep on walking past the pub every day and you keep on walking in, stop walking past the pub. If you're waking up every morning and the game is in the child's room, well, they're going to see the game. It's going to be a trigger. But that's the external trigger. But again, what I was talking about earlier is there's an internal trigger as well, that if you're anxious, if you're not feeling happy in yourself, if you're lonely or the kids are lonely or any of these kinds of things, well, they're going to use something else to get away from themselves and get into that world of immersion. So I think there's two things. It's taking the external trigger away. So whether it's gaming or something like that, take the console away, whether it's for a couple of hours a day, or whatever that needs to be, but then try to replace that, because if you take away the thing that brings them that reward and you take that away, there's going to be a vacuum. So it needs to be replaced with something more positive, whether it's exercise, whether it's going out training, joining a club or whatever that is. So it does need to be replaced, whether it's just going hiking with the kids as well.
Yeah.
So two things: try to get rid of the external trigger and then try to work on that internal trigger that pushes the person to actually jump into their addiction, whatever that might be.
Look, man, thanks so much for coming on. It's always a pleasure to hear you. That you yourself had your battle with addiction and now you're a neuroscientist. Like, what a good news story you are yourself, man. So thanks so much for coming on.
Cheers. Thanks a lot. It's an absolute pleasure.
Thanks a million, Brian.